All right, Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be in the last several verses. We're going to start in verse 13 and go to the end of the chapter. So let's popcorn read it. Elias, why don't you start out since you're not open there yet? Turn to it, and you get verse 13, and then you call on somebody to read verse 14. Huh? I don't want to call you out on the recording, but do you not know where Ephesians is?
Start in Genesis and start singing the song. You'll find it.
Hey, you get there eventually.
Buddy. All right. Ephesians 3:13. Go.
Wherefore, desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Ethan.
Dude, get a Bible.
Ephesians what?
3:14. Well, we're all waiting for you, dude. Out loud.
For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Then you call on somebody.
Oh, Lucas.
I've done the whole family
and had it. Yeah, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Lincoln.
Thank you. That Jesus, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, actually,
may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth.
And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Now to him who is able to do measurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Okay, so Paul starts off in verse 13 saying, wherefore, so what is the word wherefore? When we see that, what are we supposed to do? What's that word there for? Yeah, you got to find out. Okay, so we talked about last week, the first half of chapter 3. What's he talking about? Anybody remember? Huh? Mysteries. So he's talking about the mysteries. He's talking about, in verse 1, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. And then he goes on and he talks about the mystery. Okay, and he talks about the Gentiles. And so based on all of that stuff, he says, wherefore, because of all those things, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So what's going on in Paul's life right now when he's writing this book of Ephesians? Anybody know where he's at or what he's doing? Where is Paul in when he's writing the letter to the church of Ephesus? Anybody know?
Was it the Gentile?
Nope. Huh? Where is Paul? What's he doing when he writes this letter? Why would he say, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations? Yeah, he was in jail. Okay? So hold your place and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11:23. You there? You want to read 6 verses in a row? Okay, you got to read nice and loud. Start in 23 and go to 28.
Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes of own measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, say 1. Thrice I was beaten with a rod, once I was stoned, thrice. I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own country, in perils by the
Heathen.
In perils by the city, in perils by the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brothers, and wearing in painfulness, and watching often, in hunger, and thirst, in fasting, often in cold, and nakedness, without look, beside those that are without, that which cometh upon me daily.
All right, so he's given the church at Corinth a list of some of the things that he has faced, being beaten and being shipwrecked, and he spends a night and a day in the deep, like in the water after a shipwreck. He's dealing with being beaten, he's dealing with hunger, he's dealing with thirst, he's dealing with all these things. And then in verse 28 he says, besides all those things that are without, like the things that are happening to me, you know, physically, I also have the weight of all the care of all the churches. Okay, so Paul has a lot of stuff going on as he's telling them. So in the context of that, Paul's telling them, hey, I'm in jail now. You guys know I'm writing you this letter from jail because he just told us in verse 1, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he says, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. Don't look at my situation and let this scare you or keep you from serving the Lord, or don't like dwell on the things that are happening to me. Don't worry about the things that are going on with me. Okay, so as Christians, sometimes we go through difficult times, right? And Paul's like, don't let what's happening to me cause you guys to stumble or to fall off track from what you guys are doing. Because by and large, the church of Ephesus, as he writes this letter, if you read the whole thing, for the most part, they're doing pretty well. And so he's writing to encourage them, and he's like, hey, don't let my problems cause you to fall off course. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says that yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, so as Christians, that's a verse that we ought to know, and it's a verse that we ought to think about. If you're going to follow Christ, if you're going to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution, the Bible says. And so if you're not suffering any persecution in your life, if everything's just going smooth and there's no problems, maybe you should reconsider how much you're serving the Lord. If you're stepping outside of your comfort zone and doing things that are difficult for you, you're going to suffer some persecution. Maybe that's rejection of friends. Maybe that's just feeling awkward or uncomfortable. Maybe it's public speaking that you're not comfortable doing and you're feeling like that's too much for me to handle. It could be any number of things. In our culture, in our situation, we're mostly not going to be facing like physical, you know, beatings and torture and things like that for our faith. But we're still going to suffer some persecution as Christians. And so Paul's like, hey, I don't want this to mess you guys up. So don't focus on me. I'm doing this. I'm going through all these things for your benefit. Okay. And then in verse 14, he says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he says he bows his knees for this cause. What cause? What do you think?
The cause of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the cause of the gospel, the cause of his mission, the job that he has, the cause of the stewardship of the mysteries that we just talked about last week, and then on Sunday we talked about in the high school class. For the cause of the suffering that he's going through, for the cause of the body of Christ, for the sake of the church at Ephesus, and then for us, for our benefit, right? Paul went through all of these things, and he says he's bowing his knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, and so what is he praying? When he's bowing down on his knees, he's praying that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, Okay, so Paul spends a lot of his time writing letters to the churches, trying to correct problems, whether that's sin issues in the church with the, like the church of Corinth, or it's doctrinal problems, or like in the church of Galatia, he's dealing with their confusion on another gospel that's being preached. So he's trying to correct some doctrinal issues. So Paul's writing these letters to churches for various different reasons, but then they all get recorded for us so that we can know how to operate as a church, right? I've told you guys before, the only way we know how to operate as a church, the only structure or the only advice or the only information about how to be a church that we have in 2026, as far as a biblical church, comes from the letters that Paul wrote, along with a few things, of course, when Jesus was on the earth. But by and large, the things that we know about how to be a church and how to operate as a church and what that even means comes from Paul. And so as he's writing this, and he's saying, hey, I'm, despite my situation that I'm in, which is not good, I'm in jail, okay, but I'm still bowing down on my knees, and I'm asking God to grant you according to the riches of His glory. Okay, God can do this. And he's asking for them to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, so he's praying to God, and he's asking him for this church to be strengthened, for them to be rooted and grounded in love, okay, that they can comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And that's a little bit of a interesting way to end that verse. What do you guys think it means? Do you guys anybody have any idea what he's talking about when he says that in verse 18? They may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And then he just like moves on like he didn't just say four random things that don't seem like they fit in. I'll tell you guys, I had to go back and listen to, so Pastor Brian preached through the book of Ephesians on Wednesday night like in 2020. So I went back and listened to his messages. I'm like, I don't really understand why he throws in these measurements in here. Do you guys have any thoughts? Does anybody even know what verse I'm talking about? Yeah, there you go. 18.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm there.
Do you know what it means?
No.
No?
Could it be like the definition? Like a picture of what
the gospel
is?
Maybe.
The amount of mystery.
Huh?
Like just try
the
measurements, the size, the magnitude, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So Pastor Brian gave a few different things. He tied it into New Jerusalem in the end times, because it talks about four different measurements of New Jerusalem. So he tied it in a little bit with that. He also talked about, and we've talked about this already, about the things that were revealed to Paul were things that had not been revealed to pretty much anybody. Maybe some of the things that he knew was things that were not revealed to anybody else prior to him. So like even Jesus' disciples did not have all of the information and all the revelation that Paul got from Jesus on the road to Damascus. And so When Paul is getting this revelation from God, he's getting new information that really nobody has ever talked about before. No one's talked about these mysteries of Christ in you. Okay? Even the disciples didn't understand that, that concept. And so, yeah, so he's talking about, you know, just the revelation that Paul had, and he's trying to get them, yeah, like you guys said, the magnitude. Wrap your mind around and your arms around this idea of the gospel and the responsibility that we have as a church, so that we may be able to comprehend with all saints. So can we comprehend the love of Christ that it talks about in verse 17? Okay. And can we comprehend, or can we kind of wrap our mind around it? And then he also compared it. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, So just, we'll look at that. I don't remember if it's next week or the week after. But it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Okay, so pastors and teachers are kind of are grouped together. But so there's four different groups that the church was given. And so Brian kind of goes in and he lists out, he kind of compares those four things that the church was given with these four different measurements. And you can listen to the audio if you want to. I'm not going to go over all of it. But he gives the church those four things. He gave us apostles, right? Primarily the apostle Paul for the church, prophets, evangelists, and then pastors and teachers. And why did he give us that? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So if you think about it in the context of what's happening with Paul, Paul's really trying to, I mean, this is like 25 to 35 years after Jesus died and rose from the dead. And so the church is still like trying to be formed. It's in its infancy. And Paul is like, as quickly as he can, sharing the gospel with people and teaching and writing these letters and trying to establish kind of a foundation for the church. He's trying to build something new. I mean, Paul is not. God is building it through Paul. But Paul is trying to establish a new thing. And so when he's doing that, he's writing all these letters. He has a lot of information to try to get across. And he's trying to give each one of these churches like nuggets of the revelation that he has. And he's trying to give them things that apply directly to them. Hey, Ephesus, you guys are faithful with what you've been given so far. Here's some other things. I'm going to give you guys this mystery. And I'm going to talk about that. And we're going to have to try to build the body of Christ. And so I'm going to give you these apostles and prophets. And so when he talks about the four different dimensions, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, Brian parallels that with chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, which I thought was a cool little parallel. So if you have notes in your Bible or you draw lines or whatever, you can connect those verses in your mind, because you're probably going to forget the next time you go through and read it. But he's trying to, yeah, get them to wrap their mind around and ultimately get them to put their faith in the magnitude of the responsibility that they have as Christians, as the body of Christ, as the church. First through the revelation of the mysteries, but also just how to operate and how to function as a church. And so Paul's on his knees crying out to God for this church to do these variety of different things. And then he says in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That's almost like an oxymoron. How can you know the love of Christ if the love of Christ passes knowledge? Like, it's above being able to be known. But he prays that God would let them to know the love of Christ. That's not really knowable. Like, it almost seems like it's, you know, impossible. And it kind of is. I mean, we can't, as human beings, we really can't wrap our minds around the love of Christ. Okay? The fact that Christ loved us while we were yet sinners, and he sent us, and God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, that's a kind of love. I mean, how many of you guys would die for anybody? Like, even the people that you love the most. Your parents, your siblings, your dog, your whatever. You know, like, how many of you guys would be willing to give your life up for somebody that you really, really care about? Okay, and then think about the person that you hate in this world the most. The person that's done you the most wrong. Or someone that you just have no idea who they even are. They're just a total stranger, a nameless, faceless person on the other side of the world. Would you be willing to give up your life for that person? I mean, that's a heavy thing to think about. We can't, that's the kind of love that God had. He said, I'm gonna give my son to people who are gonna kill him, that are gonna hate him, that are not gonna believe in him, that are not gonna care about what he's doing, that are gonna, even after he raises from the dead, and I'm offering salvation to them, they're still gonna spit in the face of God about accepting that gift, and I'm still gonna do it. Okay, even if no one accepts my son's sacrifice, I'm still going to do it. That's a love that we can't really, in our human brains, really fully understand. I mean, conceptually, I think we can grasp what we're talking about. But it's hard to know that. It's hard to understand the love of God and because it passes knowledge. Like, we can't really totally wrap our mind around it, which goes back to that those measurements or those dimensions that we just talked about. And then it says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So that's talking about God, right? God can do exceedingly above. This is a fairly well-known verse. He can do exceedingly above all that we think or ask. Okay, so think about the wildest, craziest thing that you would want God to do. And he's like, yeah, that's not even a big deal. I can do way more than what you could even think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Okay, Paul's reminding them, what's the power that worketh in us? What's the power that works in us? The Holy Spirit, yeah. We have the power of God inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit that grants us access to even be able to ask God for those things in the first place. So he's saying, you guys have access to the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And God, when he hears your prayers, he might not answer them with a yes like you want him to. You can't just, you know, go to God like a genie. He's not going to grant your wishes. But God is capable of doing more than we could even think or ask. Because of the power that lives inside of us. And then he wraps it up by saying, unto him be the glory and the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So the Bible talks about, you know, when we're asking things of God, we're not supposed to just, I mean, God's not looking for us to just sit down and make a wish list of things that we wish we had, you know, material goods or even spiritual things like, God, I want, you know, this person to get saved and I want this thing to happen. And he doesn't just want a list. And then when we sit down to pray and we just read through this list of things and just ask that God would grant all of these wishes for us, right? That's not what praying to God is supposed to be for. But the Bible does talk about, you know, if we ask something in his name, then he'll grant it. The Bible talks about in, I think it's 1 Peter, about we can ask for wisdom, right? And God will give us wisdom. And again, it's not I'm going to grant your wish and now you just have wisdom like it was with Solomon back in the Old Testament, right? We ask for wisdom and then what does God give us? He gives us opportunities to exercise the things that we know about the Bible, to apply those things in our life. And through that, we will gain wisdom. And so he gives us opportunities for those things. If you pray for patience, God's going to give you not patience. He's going to give you opportunities to be frustrated. And you can choose to be frustrated or you can choose to be patient. Okay, and so God's going to, you know, maybe not exactly answer the prayer in the way that you want to, but he's going to give you the things that you need. And so so Paul, you know, he wraps this chapter up with this prayer and encouraging them by saying, hey, I pray for you guys. I don't know exactly how many times. I tried to look through to see how many times. I mean, pretty much in every one of Paul's letters, he talks about how often he prays for that church. Right? Or he'll say things like, I beseech God, you know, often on your behalf and things like that. It's like every one of his letters, he's telling them, I'm not forgetting to pray for you guys regularly. Why does he say that? Why does he remind them all the time that I'm praying for you? Why is he saying, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why is he reminding them all the time about how often he's praying for them? Huh? Yeah. Like, follow me as I follow Christ, he says in 1 Corinthians 11. Like, I'm trying to set the example, Paul says. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to show you guys, I'm praying for you all the time. And he even asks sometimes in his letters, he'll say, pray for us or pray for me as I do this thing or whatever is going on. But yeah, he's trying to set the example and to try to get them to follow in his footsteps, to do the things that he's doing. So he's trying to invest as much as he can. And it's like us today. You know, we hear things and we read the Bible and we're just going to get pieces of it. You know, this church at Ephesus, I don't know about you guys, sometimes I think about things like this church was, you know, everybody sits around and they listen to this letter being read and then they immediately just remembered all of it and they applied it all and they just went forward knowing everything Paul said and they're like checking it off their list. They were just like us, you know, like I'm sure they did sit around and listen to Paul's letter when it got there. But, you know, they're not going to remember all of these things. They're going to have to be reminded of it. I don't know how often at the church at Ephesus they sat down and read Paul's letter. I don't know if that was every Sunday morning or every Sabbath when we get together or every Sunday morning whenever they met. I don't know if they sat down and read, you know, the whole thing because not everyone had copies of it. I'm sure they made copies of it. But, you know, they were forgetting pieces of it too. You guys are going to forget most of the things that I've said tonight. That's why it's a good thing to take notes or underline stuff in your Bible or write things in the margins if you've got them. But yeah, just he's trying to lead by example in all the things that he's doing, about how he's praying, how he's suffering well. Even at the beginning of this chapter in verse 1 where he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensations of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." He's telling them, like, all these things have been revealed to me, and I'm trying to pass these things on to you guys. And I know you're not going to get it all right away, but I'm praying for you. I'm going to remind you about these things. I'm going to write these letters to you, so that you can get these things and go back and read it and go back and pay attention to it and go back and listen to it again. And yeah, ultimately just pray, because that's how, any of this stuff is going to be able to stick in our minds. The only way we're going to be able to apply these things is by the grace of God, that He brings these things to our remembrance and allows us to do the things that we know that the Word says. So that's all I got. Anybody have any questions about that tonight? No? What's your comment?
This is so super crazy.